Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you for this time and opportunity to learn about you. We put them into your hands. We ask that whatever you want us to know, we know, and whatever is not from you, go its own way. We ask you to bless us in our attempt to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at how we are to pray, God's requirements for our prayers to be noted and responded to by him. So far, we've seen that God requires faith and righteousness for his ear to be turned to our supplications, and that he looks for humility, forgiveness, truth, and thoughtfulness in us before he listens to anything from us. This morning, we're going to take a look at one of the more confusing requirements for prayer, confusing because we've made it so, persistence. Persistence is defined as firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action, in spite of difficulty or opposition. Now consider what some of these verses are saying here. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us to pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Luke 21 and Ephesians 16 both tell us the same thing. Pray always. And Colossians 4:3 says to devote yourself to prayer. These verses appear to be addressing the action more than the substance, the pragmatic instead of the altruistic, quality versus quantity. This can trouble us, as it seems so far removed from the character of God. The God of the why, which is what God is always concerned about, is now apparently concerned with how many and how often. While the other requirements, such as forgiveness, truth, humility, and thoughtfulness, deal with the matters of character and spirituality, the requirement of persistence can appear to indicate that volume has some influence over the ear of God. If this is so, we can logically ask, is there a magic number? Does God wait until we pray for something 3 times, or 7, or 15? Is the number arbitrary? Is it set in stone? Does it vary from person to person, or from prayer to prayer? Does God keep track of how many times we've asked for something? Then, once a divinely determined numerical standard has been reached, the achievement is noted by heaven, and God then hears and responds to our prayers. This requirement for prayer can appear contrary in nature to the others. Surely God is aware that such requirements set our little minds into a frenzy, trying to find ways to ritualize prayer, to make it about form, not substance. Because for us, form is always easier than substance. If I say a prayer 30 times, then I'm forgiven. Is my repentance proven by the sheer volume of the words, not by the sincerity of them? Does persistence cause prayer to become a form of penance, something we do until we suffer enough to grab God's attention? Is it possible that God is asking us to annoy him, to keep telling our Father we want a pony over and over again, until we wear him down and he relents simply to shut us up? Yeah, you're not getting the pony. The pony's not coming. Such a theology works out well for our will. It gives us some control. But it does raise some nagging and uncomfortable issues about the unchanging will of God and his sovereignty. Such a belief relegates God to the status of genie as our repetitions rub the lamp to release his power for service to our will. Deep inside, we can't help but wonder, should the will of God really be that easy to access or alter? Why, oh why, given our record as a species, would God ever allow us to influence his will in such a manner? Why would a divine, all-knowing God ever throw us the keys to the car simply because we kept asking him to? Especially when we consider that we have wrecked everything he's ever given us. Now let's take a look at a few scriptures regarding this matter, a few being relative. And I think we can gain a true understanding of why God requires persistence in our prayers. Well, we'll see that the requirement of persistence in prayer in no way is contrary to the requirements of righteousness, humility, forgiveness, truth, and thoughtfulness in our prayers. And it's most certainly not contrary to faith. God does not require heartfelt spiritual sincerity, humility, and forgiveness in our prayers, then randomly require us to bring us shrubberies before we can pass. given our propensity to misunderstand and abuse any teaching that could even remotely be seen as ritualistic, God provides us with two simple parables in the book of Luke that give us an understanding of God's requirement for persistence in prayer. It protects us from us. Because in Luke 21, Jesus tells us to pray always. But in Luke 11 and 18, he tells us why. Luke 11, 5 through 10. Then he said to them, Jesus speaking, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. From inside, he answers and says, don't bother me. The door's already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So, I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. This is said after Jesus had finished praying. One of the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. As John had taught his disciples to pray, what they're saying is, give us a prayer to pray. Our prayer. Jesus then, for the second time, provides them with the words of what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. This time, the condensed version. Approximately 2 years after he gives them the first version, which was slightly longer. So he repeats the teaching. Jesus tells them what to pray for. Then here in these verses, he tells them how they should pray for it. Persistently, shamelessly is the word it's often translated into. Unabashed. Jesus uses an illustration common to their lives. It involves friends and neighbors, people who care for and about each other. This illustration deals specifically with our seeking help from God with the things in this life that are ours to do, with the things we encounter that we have to act on. Hospitality and care for travelers is a matter of both law and grace for these folks. The disciples fully understand this frame of reference. They know what this person is facing. Because Leviticus 25, 35 through 37 under the law says this, now in case a countryman of yours becomes poor in his means with regard to you falters, then you are to sustain him like a stranger or a sojourner, a traveler, that he may live with you. This is telling us it's your responsibility to sustain a traveler. Now, in the New Testament, 1 Peter 4 and 9, it says it bluntly, be hospitable to one another without complaint. So under law and grace, this person has a responsibility to the person who came to their door. But he can't meet it. If we are obligated to care for and show hospitality to any traveler or a brother in Christ, how much more a friend? The subject in this parable really desires to do the right thing. He's embarrassed by his inability to fulfill his obligation, and he turns to his neighbor, also a friend, to help him to do the right thing. Now, the sleeping neighbor in this parable is not God, but rather a contrast to him. If you read this and see the sleeping neighbor as God, this illustration becomes troubling and the source of much misunderstanding regarding the relationship between persistence and prayer. God is never tired, sleeping, unavailable, or unaware. Any plea that is in accord with his will is heard and answered. This is not saying that we can annoy God into doing our will by continually knocking on his door or yelling through his window. It's not what this is telling us. In this illustration, Jesus is telling the disciples, if persistence has an effect on flawed, selfish humans, you can trust that it has an effect on our loving God, but for a different reason. This tells us to be persistent with our prayers for help in doing what ours is to do, not to give up or become frustrated with our own inabilities and failures. Trust God to do what he said he would do. What he calls you to do, he provides the means for. Trust that. Don't stop praying because you think God doesn't hear you or because you have not yet seen him respond to your cry for help. Jesus says the phrase, so I say to you. When he says so, what he's saying is that I'm going to explain what I just said. The point is, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. Knock on God's door as at many times and at any time, and He will open it. Because He loves you. He listens for your knock, not because you annoy Him. Now verses 11 and 13 make the final point of this parable about prayer, and it says this. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask for Him? God is not a friend or a neighbor who has a legitimate obligation to you. God is your Father. And not a Father who is flawed, but one who does the very best for you in the very best way every time. Do not be shy to ask, to seek, or to knock. Do so in a shamelessly persistent manner, because there is no shame in persistently seeking Him, as He has persistently sought you. Don't be persistent in your prayers because God can be goaded into responding. Be persistent because He doesn't have to be. As noted, this parable deals with praying persistently when asking God to help us to do His will. In the next parable, Jesus teaches the same persistence is expected in our prayers when we ask God to do His will. Luke 18:1 through 8. He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? This parable begins by stating its purpose. It was designed to teach us to pray at all times persistently without losing heart. Not to teach us that we can force God into doing what we want Him to do, when we want Him to do it, simply by overwhelming Him with volume. Once again, the judge in this parable is not God, but rather a contrast to God. If you see the judge as God, the troubling questions I opened this message with becomes reasonable to ask. God is the righteous judge who loves justice. Jesus said, will not God bring about justice for His own when they cry to Him day and night, when they pray to Him persistently? God responds to persistence for a different reason than the bad judge. Not because He's annoyed by it, but because He's pleased by it. And that is the nature of God. The element that is easy to miss in this teaching on persistent prayer is time. The reason God's people must be persistent in their prayers is because God has not answered them yet. Jesus asks, will God delay long for those who pray to Him persistently? It's rhetorical. Will He not do what is His to do, bring about justice quickly? Persistence doesn't change God's will, but it may affect His timetable for you. Then Jesus asked something very interesting. When I come back, will I find faith? Will you be praying day and night? Because that is what this is talking about. Will you be praying persistently, or will you lose heart and stop because God did not respond to you in your time frame? God's time is the hardest thing for us to have faith in. Praying persistently both proves and provides faith for God's timing. It helps us to wait upon the Lord. Persistent prayer doesn't remind God of what we want. It reminds us of who it is that we have faith in and what He can and will do. That's how it helps us to get through the time. Persistent prayer not only gets us through time between asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking and the door being opened, it can make the time between them even shorter and prosperous. Persistence in prayer as a display of faith, not as a means of annoyance, causes God to ponder time from our perspective, to consider our helpless estate. Now let's take a look at a few examples from Scripture of people who prayed persistently, and maybe it'll pull everything together. Matthew 15:21-28, fascinating. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. Oh, he heard her. And his disciples came and imploring him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He says it out loud so the woman hears it. But she came and began to bow before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once, quickly. Jesus didn't answer her for a reason. He wanted her to prove her faith by persistence to him, to herself, and to us. This obscure Canaanite woman made the big book because she didn't give up and persisted in her need before God. She kept shouting, it says, a thing of beauty. It annoyed the disciples, just like the judge and the sleeping friend. That's the effect it had. But it was music to the ears of Jesus. Her theology was sound. She knew God. Her answers were wise in the way of the Lord. But it wasn't her theology that got her request answered. It was her faith, as proven by her absolute refusal to stop asking God. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul prayed to God three times to have the thorn in his flesh removed. God said no. Paul said that this answer made him content. He was persistent. God answered. Paul was comforted. Paul sought God's answer, and what he sought, he found, just as Jesus had promised in the parable. "I found what I was looking for." In Deuteronomy 9, Moses prayed for the people for 40 days and nights straight. In Colossians 4, Paul writes that Epaphras labored earnestly in his prayers for them. He worked at it. It was work. In Psalms 88, David proclaims that he cried to God day and night so that his prayers would be heard. In Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that Jesus himself prayed the same prayer three times. This isn't repetition, this is persistence. It is interesting to note that regarding both Jesus and Peter, each prayed the same prayer three times. And afterwards, their prayers changed to "Your will, not mine." Persistence in prayer makes us see and confront what we're asking for. Prayer changes us, and then we change our prayers. Persistence in prayer grants us peace in our situation more than it grants information to God about our situation. He knows. So, Jesus gave us two parables to show us that persistent prayer will help us not to lose heart, which means it will keep our faith strong. Praying not only displays faith, it builds faith. It will keep us from being overwhelmed by worry. Providing peace is one of the primary functions of prayer. Remember, God already knows your requests before you speak them. He doesn't need to hear them. You need to say them. Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Pray and the peace of God will calm your anxiety. It will guard your heart and mind. The more you pray, the more it will guard you, the more peace you will have. Don't persist in prayer because we doubt. We persist in prayer because we believe. And this comforts us. Persistence in prayer is required by God because it helps us. And that makes it completely compatible with the loving character of our God. Persistently praying takes our focus off the problem, which is screaming for our attention, and puts it on the solution. It takes our mind off the what and puts it on the who. Call to God as He has called to you. Seek Him as He has sought you. Knock on His door as He has knocked on yours, persistently and constantly. For your entire existence, your Father has called you persistently. Consider the joy that you give Him when you call persistently back to Him. When you come before God in prayer, come to Him with shameless persistence, as Jacob did. Grab a hold of Him. Wrestle with Him in prayer. And don't let go until He hears and responds. Begin in the evening and hang on like Jacob did until the light of morning. And you will please God, and He will answer you. Amen.